God's been good to us. It's beautiful, big mountains, and I drink my coffee in the morning. We live on the 8th floor of an apartment, so we have a little enclosed balcony. I look out there, those beautiful mountains every morning, and it's a great place to live, and God's been good to us. Can't wait to get back. Luke chapter 5. We won't be too long tonight. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. Just a few thoughts from this passage. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. I apologize for my cold and my sniffles and my cough, so I'm trying to get over this thing. So. Everyone in Minnesota is sick, I think. So I brought it from Mississippi last week, so, you know. All right, Luke chapter 5, verse 1. It came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said to him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's pray tonight. Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you, Lord, we can come and worship you. Thank you for the freedom we have to open your word and study it and learn. And Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts, open our hearts and our minds, Lord, to hear from you. And Lord, thank you. We'll praise you, Lord, for all you'll do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In verse 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. These people wanted to hear from God. And I hope, Lord, I hope tonight that you came wanting to hear from God. I want to wake up every morning hearing from God. And these people, they wanted to hear from God. You know, Jesus Christ came down from heaven, all right, from the glories of heaven to earth, all right, to pay for our sins. And these people, they wanted to hear from God. And first, I want to see there are people out there that want to hear the truth. And as a missionary, I must believe that. If I don't believe that, then why am I a missionary? Why do I go? We've got to have faith that there are people searching for the truth. All right? Or we shouldn't even go. When you go hand out tracts, all right, on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, you got to have faith. You got to know that somebody will take that tract and read it. That somebody is searching for the truth. Now, I know this isn't an easy area, and Minnesota as a whole, fairly well-to-do area. I know that because my parents live here, and I hear about it all. I mean, there's poor here, but nevertheless, it's a pretty well-to-do area. And people you look at the outside, and you think they're not hurting. Everything's fine with them, but inside, they're searching for the truth. And there's fear inside. In Romania, we're 8 hours from Ukraine, and probably 12 to 15 hours from Turkey. And, of course, through Iran with a missile, we're just right there, you know. No problem at all. And people are afraid. They remember World War II. They remember what happened with Hitler. All right, we forget that. They don't. And they are afraid in their heart, and they are searching for the truth. I had a Seventh-day Adventist man come to me in Romania right before we came here to the States. And I was preaching a simple doctrinal truth, and he said, I had never heard that before. And he gladly received it. He gladly received the truth from the Bible. A professional man about my age, in his mid-30s. There are people outside this door looking for the truth. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. We have to believe that people are hurting, and they're looking for the truth. They want answers. They just don't know where to look sometimes. They want peace in their hearts. They want to be free from that sin and that guilt. Amen? And they're looking for the truth. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We know that verse, but let's continue reading. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus Christ is physically on earth. The Word in flesh, right? We know that. But now He's in heaven. He's not here anymore. And God has given us the ministry, all right, to tell the world His Word. We have His complete Word right here. Complete revelation of God. Amen? All right? All of it right here. And God has committed that to us. And we're to be faithful to that. Amen? To this Word. And we are to go out and give the gospel. And it might seem like a poor vessel to use, all right? But that's what God has chosen to use. These people gladly want to hear from God, all right? But He's not here anymore. He's in heaven. And we are His representatives now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, he was reading in Isaiah. And searching, and he didn't understand what he was reading. Reading about Jesus Christ, Isaiah 53, and those passages there. He didn't know, all right? A man of power, a man of influence, searching for the truth. And God sent Philip to him, and Philip preached unto him Jesus. Amen? And that's what God has commanded us to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. And all things are of God, who reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. We are to draw men. God has given us the ministry of reconciling men back to Christ, bringing them back. We are to be ambassadors in Jesus Christ's stead. Now, when I go to Romania, I'm an ambassador for America. I might be the only American they meet. They might think all Americans are short and thin, right? And, well, that might not be true. I'll let you draw that conclusion. And up here, they're taller. So, you know, up in this part of the world. But anyway, so I feel kind of out of place now. Anyway, but I might be the only American they see. But more importantly, I'm an ambassador for heaven. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And so are you. We are all ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And they won't hear if we don't go. Back in Luke chapter 5, in verse 2. Luke chapter 5, verse 2. And saw two ships, verse 2, standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Verse 3, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed to him that he would thrust out a little from the land. Here, we see two ships that are empty. And Jesus Christ says, Simon, I want to use your ship. And Simon says, okay, Lord, you can use what I have. Now, we know God has given us the ministry of reconciling men back to Christ. All right? But are we available for God's use? Here, Jesus Christ wanted to use what Simon had. Not what he didn't have. Now, he didn't have to use that ship. He could have walked out on the water, right, and preached to the people. He can do that. He does it later, right? But he wanted to use what Simon had. All right? And are you willing to be used of God? Are you willing to be used of God tonight, this coming year? But to be used of God, we have to be available for His service. And second of all, we have to be empty of ourselves. This ship was empty, and it was available for God's use. Are we available for God's use? Are we too tied up in other things? Are there other things that have our attention holding us back? You know, I travel a lot. We've traveled 14,000 miles in 3 months. So I know what busy is. And it gets busy. Life gets busy. You're rushing here and there, rushing in the restaurants to play. And it's real easy. I'm a missionary, all right? And I know it's hard for me. It's easy to forget. and to be not available for God's use. Too busy to be used for God. Are you available for God's use, or does the world have a hold on you and you can't be used of God? Are you a vessel, a clean vessel, that God can use? And are we empty of ourselves? You know, if I'm full of myself, my own pride, my own confidence, my own abilities, God's not going to use me. I have to be empty of myself if I want God to use me in Romania. Empty of myself and full of Him. God can use that, but not if I'm full of myself. We have to be empty, and we have to be available for God's use. Amen? God is looking for a vessel that He can use. Amen? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto elders. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble." Jesus Christ, we are commanded to be humble. And God can use somebody who is humble. In John chapter 3, verse 30, the Bible says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." John the Baptist said that. The greatest prophet, someone Jesus Christ spoke very highly of, says no. He must increase, I must decrease. If we want to be used of God, we have to be available for God's use. And we have to be empty. Amen. Back in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 3. "And he entered to one of the ships with the Simons, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." We have to be available for God's use. And here, Jesus Christ tells Simon to thrust out just a little from the land. Now, you could probably see the sand. You could see the shore, all right? It was easy. It was comfortable. You could swim to the shore. Not a problem. It's comfortable, right? That's not scary. That takes a lot of faith. But he says, "I want you to go off just a little." Now, we know that God wants to use you. If you're saved tonight, God wants to use you. Young people, God wants to use you. He does. All right? But a lot of times, we stop there. We know the need. God pricks our heart. All right? You know God wants to use you, but we stop. Because we're afraid. We're afraid God's going to tell us, "Okay, I want you to go to Russia or something. I want you to go learn a hard language. I want you to leave your church, this nice building, the people you know." And people stop because they're afraid. And you know what? Jesus Christ told Peter to go off just a little. Just a little from the land. And you know what? We need to obey God step by step. One step at a time. Don't get ahead of God. If God would have told me 12 years ago, "Adam, I want you to go to Romania, get married," that would have been a big challenge. You know, that would have been scary as much. You know, that, no. Anyway, "I want you to get married, leave." It's great now, but anyway. So, I want you to leave your church. I'm from a big church of 300 people. Leave that. Leave your family. Leave everything and go. I would have said, "Oh, Lord, I don't know." You know why? I wasn't ready. And God knew that. But He didn't command me to do that then, did He? He said, "Adam, I want you to do this. I want you to hand out tracts. I want you to be faithful in your church." And God prepared me along the way. We have to go step by step. We need to learn to serve the Lord in the shallow waters first before we get to these deep waters. And a lot of times we stop right there. We need to read our Bibles. We need to pray. Be faithful to your pastor, to your church. All right? Be faithful in the little things. Serve the Lord in the shallow water. All right? And don't be scared. Look, God will give you the ability to serve Him. God will give you the ability. Believe it or not, when I still am a little, but I was very shy when I was young. Still am a little. And when I was about 5 or 6 years old, I'd tell my mom, "I don't feel good. I don't want to go to school." And it wasn't because I didn't like learning. It was because I was scared of people. My personality, I'm scared to death of people. I want to be around my mom, my dad. I was just scared. All right? But you know what? God gave me the abilities over the years. If God can use me, He can use you. I promise you, He can. God will give you the ability to serve Him. But you must trust Him. You must trust Him and serve Him step by step. In Acts chapter 9, verse 6, this is when Saul, later Paul, is saved. And in chapter 9, verse 6, the Bible says, "And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and it should be told thee what thou must do." You know, he says, I want you to get up and I want you to go. Then I'll tell you what to do. God wants you to obey first. Take one step at a time. You know, Paul didn't see the shipwrecks. He didn't see the stonings, the beatings. He didn't see that. He obeyed the Lord one step at a time. Amen. And we have to start in the shallow water first. God will give you the ability to serve Him. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We need to serve the Lord in the shallow water first. In Luke chapter 5, verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep. So here he's done speaking to the people, and he tells Peter, I want you to go out into the deep water now. Now, deep water is very different than the shallow water. You can't see the bottom anymore. You may not be able to see the shore. You can't swim to shore. Now, I've never been in a boat in the middle of the ocean. Perhaps some of you have, all right? But I have flown over the ocean many, many times, and all you see is water. As far as you can see. It's not very comfortable. Amen. And you know, God, in your Christian life, I believe He's going to ask you, it's time. If you're faithful in that shallow water, He's going to say, okay, it's time for you to go to deep water. That's different for every person. And I believe that changes as you grow as a Christian. All right? But God is going to take you to a place where you have to just go in that deep water. He says, okay, you're ready. That's different for every person. But we have to trust the Lord in this deep water. If you're not serving the Lord in the shallow water, you won't make it in this deep water. You won't do it. The deep water is uncomfortable. It's away from what you're comfortable. Amen? Now, that's different for every person. For me, I like Romania. I'm comfortable in Romania. All right? I mean, that's just, I've been there for 7 years. I only came back for 4 months out of 7 years, not including this trip. So that's my life. So the Lord says, Adam, it's time to go back to Romania. Raise more support. I said, Lord, are you sure about that? Call pastors? That's not easy. That's not fun. Preach in big churches? And I said, okay, Lord, I'll do that. And you know what I have to do? I have to say, Lord, I can't do it. It's not my own strength. Please fill me with your spirit. You help me do this. You know what I have to do? Dive right off. I got to dive in deep water and trust the Lord, not my own strength. That's deep water. It's different for every person. All right? But God wants you to be able to trust Him in deep water. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We have to trust the Lord by faith that He can take care of us in this deep water. Are we serving the Lord in the shallow water? And are we willing to take the next step? That might be handing a tract out for some people. That might be preaching on the street. That might be taking a Sunday school class. I don't know. But are you willing to trust the Lord with what you have? You know, God can do so much with you. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know, it's amazing what God can do in your life. Young person, you think, you know, you're young. You think, what? God used me? Yeah, God can use you. God can do something with your life. It is amazing. I look back at my life. I wanted to be a programmer. I wanted to be an engineer. I wanted to do all that. God never let me do it. He shut all of those doors. And I've been serving the Lord since I was 15, almost full time. I didn't choose that. God chose that for me. And God, my brothers went off. They're successful in the nuclear industry and have everything. You know what? And I'm happy. I am just as happy doing what I'm doing. God will take you so much further than you ever imagined He'll take. He'll bless you. And He will take care of you. You just have to trust Him every day, every step of the way. Back in Luke chapter 5, and we'll finish tonight. Luke chapter 5. In verse 5, Simon lets down a net. He doesn't let down the nets like Jesus said in verse 4. And Jesus Christ wants our complete obedience. We have to be empty, we have to be available, and we need to obey God completely, not just partially. I tell people, you know, my wife, does she want some of my heart or all of my heart? She wants it all. What do you think, ladies? You want all your husband's heart or part of it? You want it all, right? And Jesus Christ, He wants all of you. He wants your complete obedience. And in verse 8, in Luke chapter 5, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Here he had the right attitude. If we want to serve the Lord, we have to be available. We have to be empty. We need to obey the Lord completely. Amen. And we need to have the right attitude serving the Lord. Here he said, "I'm just a sinner." Amen. And you know, that's all we are. Sinners that Jesus Christ wants to use. If you're not saved tonight, you have to have the same attitude. See yourself the same way. Just a sinner. Amen. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 6. And we'll finish here tonight. Isaiah chapter 6. Here Isaiah is before the throne of God. And he has the same attitude that Peter had. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5. The Bible says in Psalms 51:17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, Thou wilt not despise." God saw that humble spirit in Peter and said, "You know, I can use that man." God saw the humble spirit in David and saw that. You know what? We have the right attitude. God can use that. But we have to be empty of ourselves. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Same attitude that Peter had. Verse 6. "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." He says, "Woe am I. I'm unclean." And you know what God does? He cleans him up, doesn't he? God cleans him up. And the Lord says, "Who will go for us?" And Isaiah says, "Here am I, Lord, I'll go. I'll do it." And the Lord says, "Okay, you go." And in verse 9, the Lord says, "And he said, Go and tell this people." And he tells them what to say. He's, you know what? He says, "You go and you tell them my words. You go and tell them my words." So are we a vessel tonight that God can use? Are we willing to say, "Here, my Lord, send me"? Or we want to go and give them Jesus Christ's word, His word, not our own, but His. If you're not saved tonight, I hope you came wanting to hear from God. And you know, His hand is outstretched. Amen. And He wants to save you. Amen. He's right here wanting to take that. Amen. Amen. And He can be your Savior tonight. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this evening. Thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that You can use us, sinners, Lord. And I pray that we'd be available and empty for Your service and have the right attitude. And Lord, I pray for someone here, Lord, that's not saved, You'd save them and draw them to You. And we'll thank You, we'll praise You, Lord, for all You'll do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
How many missionaries have been through? And I know you think the mission field would be the furthest possible step you could take, but how many missionaries have come through here and said that their mission field is their home? I remember the Thruns, the Thrun kids. You know, you'd think going to New Guinea that somebody would love to get back to America. All the Thrun kids considered New Guinea home and they wanted to go back. It's just, I don't know, it struck me tonight. You have a man who feels the same way. Most of the missionaries you find feel the same way. The reason I bring that up is because sometimes it's so hard for us to take even the smallest step into the shallow water. And folks, it's just not that hard. It's really not. It's really not. Let's bow our heads for just a minute here as Jenny starts to play. So Brother Xander mentioned salvation for somebody who might not be saved. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, nobody wants to embarrass you. Not interested in making a big show. But if you would be willing to let someone take you in a back room, a side room, privately, and show you out of the Bible how it is to be saved, I would hope you would do that. Look to the
as for the rest, the missionary gets up and appeals to labor in the field. And most of you do. Many of you have been to Eastern Europe. Many of you have been to Romania, Ukraine, Moldova, and Russia. And that's a wonderful thing. The steps that the Lord asks you to take are not too big. If the Lord's dealing with you about that, would you come? I'm sure awaiting, and so we'd like to give them a generous love offering tonight. So if you guys can bring a plate, we'll do that now. Table back there, take a prayer card. I hope we'll get a chance to meet with Xander, shake hands, and so that whoever you're praying for when you're praying for them here in the future. Number 333.
What did I say?
Oh, no. Did I say 332?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I meant 333. That was just one digit off, right?
Live in me from day to day by His love.
Mrs. Anders is there, headed up the road a little ways to St. Cloud. His dad lives up there now. So pray that they have a good next few days up there. Let's have a word of prayer. And Father, we ask once again that you'll bless these folks as they leave us here. It's a blessing to have somebody come in and to know they're among friends and to feel like they are a friend because of the commonality that we have from the book and with a Savior that died for our sins across the board. We're just glad for the commonality we have. I pray you bless them in their going. May we be a blessing to them, and we hope that we have been. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good night.